Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What is up, everyone? It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined by his buddy, the lawyer himself, David Ungar, back after a hiatus. Dave had an appointment with the mouse last week and celebrated 70 years of the mouse, or at least that's what Disneyland is doing. So Dave got to enjoy a sea of blue and purplish pink, seems to be the color scheme. Dave, did you have a good time last week?
I did. I mean, I only spent one day at the park. My son, it was his 21st birthday. So he got to hang out with it. I could not convince him to drink. I was like, look, if your first alcoholic drink legally should be at Downtown Disney, but he just wasn't interested. And that's fine. So he got to do Knott's Berry Farm for the first time ever with one of his friends.
Really?
And
institution, everyone.
It is. The problem with Knott's Berry Farm, though, is it's like 10 minutes at most, and that's stretching it by a couple of minutes from Disneyland. So where do you slip it in, right? If you're down there for Disneyland, where do you slip it in? But his buddy... That's a different podcast, Pat. He met his friend and they did Knott's and they got the fast pass and he kept saying, are you sure you don't want to go? And I'm like, I've seen the crowd tracker for today. No, that's quite all right. And, you know, a lot of the rides at Knott's at my age and, you know, I'm in okay. I've gotten myself back in pretty good shape the last couple months, but it's still, there's rides there that, you know, Ghost Rider is a very well-known ride. It's very wooden. And it's very rough. I'm like, no, yeah. I don't think I'll pass. So, so he went to Knott's Friday. Kayleen, my wife, she went into Disney because she's got the pass. And I just kind of like messed around. I walked around. I went to my favorite board game store down there, got a couple of really good deals on stuff, talked to some people there and just, you know, hung out at the hotel until they were ready to come back. And Saturday, my wife's pass didn't work. So Jared got to go into Disneyland and he park hopped and he stayed there all day. And then Sunday we went into the park, which was, it was good. I mean, yeah, the 70th anniversary, it's all decked out. It is the Walt animatronic is pretty cool. His story is always fascinating. But a lot of mechanical issues at Disneyland this time around. And a lot of rides breaking down in weird places, like, and people getting pissed. Like some guy cursing at a cast member, and the cast member finally said, sir, please stop cursing at me, and walked away. And that shouldn't happen. Right. It's not their fault.
Well, yeah, there's been an interesting, as this turns into a brief Disney/amusement park podcast, we only have a couple things on the docket to talk about today. One is we're going to reflect on the Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony for 2025 that is currently ongoing as we are recording, or supposed to be going, starting at 2:30 p.m. We record at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Talk about the five men who are going to be inducted today. But it's been a fascinating trend that I've seen out of park guests at not only like the Disney parks, which is where we frequent, but also Universal now, Epic Universe. These rides and these experiences that these folks are trying to create are increasingly complicated and technologically advanced and doing wonderful, amazing things. But with that advancement comes the more frequent breaking down of rides. And then you combine that with the other part that makes Disney in particular, its love of its nostalgia and its institutional rides, right? Like, It's a Small World, Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean, like all of those rides are in some cases 40, 50, 60 years old. And they take a lot of work to maintain too. And from a customer perspective, I get it. You spent, like, you're a family from Kansas. You paid the money to fly out to California, stay at a hotel and eat that transient tax and do Disneyland and its costly price tickets for this thing. And you just, your hopes are for perfection. And this is why, like, I love what I do with travel now with, you know, having the annual pass and being a vacation clubber, because I don't need to worry that this is the one time we're ever going to be at Disney. And this may be my lone shot to ride Rise of the Resistance in Galaxy's Edge, which is notorious for breaking down all the time. Yeah.
I texted you, right? Like, it had never been, Rise of the Resistance had never been a walk-on. And even like the app was saying 25-minute wait. We're like, We got there. We walked on this thing, and we actually got, you know, to the part with Ray. We got into the cruiser. You know, we got hijacked by the tractor beam. We got called resistance scum. Of course, we walked out in front of the stormtroopers, went around the corner, and all of a sudden the music stopped, and we're like looking around for like 5 minutes, and all the first order people started to be like really nice. And, you know, they usually stay in character, right, and harass you a bit. And when they started to call you my friend and this and that, and they're like, oh, by the way, yeah, we're the ride. My wife speculated, because they were cleaning up stuff, that somebody may have had a accident of some sort. And they take biohazards quickly. But yeah, I was going to say, like you mentioned Small World, we did get to hear the third verse for Small World, which, you know, it's fine. You know, it's more about humanity, right, and it's right, like, right. Okay, that's cool. And I got to do Madame Leota's gift shop for the first time, which is nice, man. Yeah. There's some interesting stuff in there. My son got him really cool Haunted Mansion shirt, and
I really want to see. They dropped a ton of Haunted Mansion merchandise in both parks because it made all the rounds. Like, they dropped a new Magic Band, which the little O'Dowd lost his Magic Band on our Disney cruise. And it was never recovered. The vaunted Disney lost and found system did not pay off. We did not recover little O'Dowd's Chippendale Magic Band. That was his first ever Magic Band Plus. He loved it very dearly. Silver lining, there is a brand new Haunted Mansion Magic Band that I think is going to be the replacement. But yeah, it's just... Haunted Mansion is always popular, but boy howdy, the merch dump that they did this, like the baseball jersey. Did you see the baseball jersey?
Yeah,
it's got 999 is the number on the back.
Like, there's a proliferation of baseball jerseys. Like, there was people, I don't know where they got it. We could never find it, but Fantastic Four baseball jerseys, which were fucking sweet, man. The light blue and the white, and I was like, oh, that's nice.
I'd venture you'd find that more downtown Disney. For me, it would be Disney Springs.
Yeah, we didn't go into World of Disney, which I am imagining is where they would have been. But you know, I think I sent you the picture of Splitsville in downtown Disney, which of course you would dig because it's a bowling alley and a restaurant.
So. They have one at Disney Springs. As part of Disney Springs. So, you know, good to see that those have there. So anyway, I'm glad it was a good trip overall. You know, I too have fallen victim to the broken down Rise of the Resistance. Little O'Dowd and I didn't get as far as the cruiser. We got as far as the doors to the lift to get us to the cruisers. And they kept trying to like start it and restart it. And it just wasn't happening. And finally we left. We did not redeem our free Lightning Lane return. We just were like, whatever.
We lost ours as well.
Parks in one day that day anyway. So
yeah, we lost ours because I had to do a training for work. I was actually the presenter the next day, and I kept saying, you know, we got to leave like 10 or 11. You know, that gets us home. And sure enough, we closed the park down. So yeah, I was only marginally awake for the training. I was like, I really wish I remember what I said because everybody said it was good. So I'm like, all right.
I'm really excited because come tomorrow, Monday, when in our real world, that's 200 days to our next trip. So we're getting close. It's our what they call welcome homestay as a Disney Vacation Club member, because this is the first time we're actually using our contract points for the resort we're staying at. So I'm very excited about that. Anyway, sweet. Neither here nor there. Let's get into some news in sports. We are going to talk about the passing of Hulk Hogan. While not directly part of a sports podcast, very, very influential persona in the world of sports entertainment, professional wrestling, if you will. And this is probably the only platform I'm going to get to have to talk about the Hulkster. I don't know that first of all, we just don't even know if Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd are going to do an episode of the Babyface Heel podcast. And Greg tends to want to be the one not talking about the headline news in professional wrestling. So we'll see what happens. SummerSlam coming up might trump that. That weekend. I can't wait for Tony to ask for my picks and me to not want to do it, because I don't follow wrestling really until we get closer to Mania just season.
No sell it.
Rumble season.
That's fine.
I don't know sell it. I give answers as best I can based on what I understand to be happening, but I don't freaking know. Like nine times a ten, I really don't know. And I've been terrible. I'm bringing down the team average. So, but anyway, let's get to today. 2025 Baseball Hall of Fame, 5 names being inducted. Dick Allen from the legacy wing, as well as Dave Parker, also from the sort of the sports writers legacy wing. CC Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, and Billy Wagner will also all be inducted. And looking at this list, and I remember when it got announced, and looking at this list now, out of those 5 names, there were only 2 of them where I was like, yeah. I don't know Dick Allen's career from a hole in the wall, so I'm not going to pretend to know. I'm going to assume that the writers know what they're talking about. But Dave Parker was a fucking larger-than-life masher back in the day for the Pirates and for the Reds. He was a beast. He played for the A's as well, I want to say, at some point. He was a beast.
He was part of the 79 Pirates that won the World Series, him and Willie Stargell and all. I still have nightmares about that team. Big time nightmares about that team.
Shit out of the ball. but so Dave Parker was a definite yes for me. And then Ichiro Suzuki, who literally could, like, you just, he would, we talk about 5 tool hitters. He was a 4 tool hitter. He was not known for his power. For 5 total players. He was a 4 tool player. He wasn't going to hit home runs, but all time hits leader, underrated defensive fielder. The man's arm was something like when you would play video games, if you bought like an MLB back in the day when EA Sports used to make the MLB series, if somebody was good at a particular thing, there'd be a little icon next to their name, and there was a contact icon, there was a glove for fielding, and then there was a baseball with little like lines to indicate that they had a great arm. And Ichiro had that, and I was always like, really, Ichiro? And then you go back and you watch footage of him throwing people out. And Ichiro Suzuki was no joke. And what was amazing to me wasn't just his ability as a player and as a hitter, like best hitter since Tony Gwynn, in my opinion. And to see him always be able to maintain contact and to stay relatively healthy over a very lengthy career to get, and I said all-time hits leader. He's not the all-time hits leader. He did not catch Pete Rose. But one of the great hits, hit machines ever, 3,089 hits. He only had 117 home runs, not a power guy, but he had speed. He hit for average. He had a 757 OPS, and he was terrific in the field as a defensive player. It was phenomenal. And he played till he was 40. Well-deserving Hall of Fame. I feel like CC Sabathia, and then I'll turn it over to you. I like watching CC. But CC, like, how many did he win? How many Cy Youngs did he win? Did he ever win a Cy Young? I feel like he was known more for his longevity than he was anything. He was a 250 win pitcher, career ERA at 3.74. His whip was 1.26. He was just consistent. And he was a pretty well-known innings eater for a long, long time.
Yeah, he's looking at his career highlights for Sabathia. Six-time All-Star World Series champion in 2009. I guess that was the Yankees. One-time Cy Young Award winner 2007, ALCS MVP in 2009. Okay. MLB two-time MLB wins leader in 2009-2010. And Cleveland Guardians / Indians, whatever the hell you want to call them, Hall of Fame. Hall of Famer. Yeah, I'm kind of like you. Like Dave
I think he absolutely should be a team on a team's Hall of Fame.
Sure.
But I do really feel like he's
the big one? The big one though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And I agree with you a lot. His longevity really kind of separates him from the pack a little bit. He's certainly like, I compare him a little bit to Bartolo Colon. Of course, Sabathia had the better career, but Colon had that same sort of longevity. And I remember when he finally hit that home run and everybody lost their damn mind about it. And that was cool. But I think I'm like you, like Parker is somebody I remember from that Pirates team that came back from that 3-1 deficit against the Orioles. And man, really terrorized me as a child. You know, when I was only 11 when it happened, and it was my first real introduction to, wow, teams can really blow it out their ass if they're not careful, and that was the example. Ichiro is the one. Yeah, I mean, you watch just a hitting machine. His approach to batting, his plate discipline, just the way he, not a power threat like you were saying, you know, not a home run hitter, but just from the standpoint of what he could do and get that big hit when you absolutely needed it. There's few better than him, really. At least not in. Since the, you know, in the modern era, I mean, Tony Gwynn, of course, you're saying, but.
And here's the other thing about Ichiro, and this is something that I just see as such a lost art in baseball, and I hope it comes back, because everything's cyclical. Things go, and then they come back. The ability to hit to all fields is something that, like, it is a pull hitter's game these days. And man alive, do I miss watching somebody make a team pay for the shift, and you couldn't shift or shade Ichiro Suzuki because he was going to put the ball. He was the king of put it where they ain't, and that was how I was taught to hit. Like as a kid, I was taught that you needed to know how to take an outside pitch, or if you were facing a left-handed pitcher, like I needed to know how to take a curveball from a lefty to the outside, to the left side of the field. Like I needed to be able to do that. Go with the pitch. Is what they used to have. Yeah. And then having some good pop to the opposite field was very, very important. And no, people don't do that anymore. Like it's all about launch angles and pulling the ball.
Think about this. Ichiro would have been a bigger sensation and probably even even more well-regarded than he is. But he played for just bad teams, He played for the Mariners for,
Left Seattle, yeah.
He played for the Mariners for 11 years. He goes to the Yankees for 2 years, but this isn't a Yankees team that was competing at this point. They're on the downturn. He goes to the Marlins for 2 years. I mean, the Miami Marlins, come on. And then he goes back to Seattle to close out his career. You know, if he'd been playing for, some of those teams if he'd been on the Yankees, instead of the Mariners during that first run.
Think about what his career would mean to folks. You say the Yankees. What about those Red Sox team in the early 2000s? Like that 04 team that won the World Series.
Put him on the 03 team that couldn't beat the Yankees. You know, lost on the Aaron Boone homer.
Right.
He probably makes a difference there in a series like that. I'm with you. And that's a testament to how great of a hitter is that you could stand out and succeed even though you're playing with subpar to bad teams, I would say, during this whole time frame. And he still stood out and excelled. And he's Mike Trout's going to be remembered for the same thing. Trout will probably get in the Hall of Fame, and he should. But he's been stuck in Anaheim for all these years.
I feel so terrible for Mike Trout, man.
I do, too. I mean, I appreciate the loyalty, but damn it, Mike, go to the Dodgers. Win a championship or something,
and there is something charming, and nice about that. It just also sucks because before he started dealing with all of the injuries, that just are part of the wear and tear of baseball, like he was appointment viewing. And now the Dodgers, for me, are appointment viewing because of Shohei Ohtani. Like, you got to watch that guy play. Like, you just have to. And I certainly can't watch the Cardinals because they are atrocious, though they are up in a series against the Padres 2-1. So they're going to maybe split the series because I have no faith in them winning a series against the Padres because the Cardinals are trash and are sellers at the trade deadline. What?
Yeah, my nothing. I was not going to disagree with you. I was just going to say, yeah, it could be the Nats or the Orioles. I mean, that's a train wreck too.
The Cardinals gave the Colorado Rockies their first series win in like forever.
Who was this?
Like
the Cardinals did.
Cardinals.
Yeah,
the Cardinals gave Colorado back to back victories, and I was just like. Out of the All-Star break, you lose 2-3 to Colorado, and that was when I was like, well, it looks like it's fuck this shit o'clock. They lost five of their first six out of the All-Star break. They were terrible. So anyway, nothing to do with the Hall of Fame. We are going to take our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the late Hulk Hogan. I know you've already done a little bit of that on some other shows, but we're going to spend a little time here. So stay tuned for that. Patrick and Dave are going to talk a little bit about Hulk Hogan. When we come back, you are listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar. I realized, Dave, I forgot to announce what show we were recording at the top of the show. We just dove right into Disney Talk, and I lost it. So
I'm sure they're going to figure out from the title, maybe.
I mean, there's a title on the thing. Like, who knows? Make sure you head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ChairShot. Invest in a ChairShot shirt. We have all kinds of great designs. No Four Corners Podcast shirt. But then again, do you really need one? You're listening to us. We're a niche. We're a niche in the corner of the ChairShot Radio Network. Our little own engine that could. The last vestiges of the return of the daily podcast. Remember the shorts? Like, that's what this was supposed to be.
Yeah, I would like to say that the Four Corners Podcast is inadvertently sponsored by Spotify. Thank you, guys, because thanks to you, musical chairs went the way of the dodo bird. So
it did. It died. So this week, Thursday morning, word came out of the passing of Terry Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan, and the reactions have been rightfully so kind of all over the place. And I do want to say, generally when somebody famous dies, if you ever follow me on the Facebooks or the Twitters, I tend to put up an article and I'll say happy trails. And I just can't do it for Terry Bollea, the person. And, you know, I've listened to a lot of tributes and memorials and people who've known him and love him. And I understand that they're grieving. And that's 1,000% for your friend. Grieve for your friend. And, you know, I was listening to Eric Bischoff's podcast, actually, a little bit here and there. And he was talking about how Terry found Jesus and was trying to right all these wrongs that he'd done in his past. The fact of the matter is that Terry Bollea, the person, did a lot to hurt others. And so we shouldn't be surprised that there are folks that are not going to be sad that this man passed away. And so I say that because one of the things I don't think is fair or right is people from the industry who loved Hulk Hogan, who want to mourn him, telling others that they aren't allowed to not be upset. Or, you know, some referee who said that there are people out there dancing on the grave of Hulk Hogan. And I have seen people who are happy that he passed, like, or are celebrating that he passed. Whatever. That's your thing. I can argue that Terry Bollea as a person was objectively a horrible human being. I also cannot deny and will not argue against the impact that the Hulk Hogan persona and character had on my life as a child. I don't watch professional wrestling. If not for Hulk Hogan in the rock and wrestling era, I to this day still remember the Hogan Andre main event show that they're talking about now, about how 33 million people watch it. I watched that too with my folks. I remember the double referees, the whole thing. It burned in my brain. It is not, outside of it is absolutely true as well that Hulk Hogan, the character and the persona of Hulk Hogan, made wrestling a national, unified national entertainment boom. Because before then, in the day, even in the territory days when Vince was bringing in talents, Hulk Hogan is the talent that captured a national audience and made the WWF the national brand. And so when I talk about this with folks, because everybody's like, oh, you're the wrestling guy. Like, right? Like in my office, everybody's like, you're the wrestling guy. And they're like, I'm so sorry to hear about Hulk Hogan. I was like, I'm not. Like, yes, he was very, very important to my childhood. Very much a reason, if not the reason, that I love professional wrestling to this day. And that should be acknowledged and recognized. But I also recognize that he was an objectively terrible person to a lot of people. What I don't agree with is people going after each other over how they should respond or mourn or not mourn the man's passing. Tony Schiavone catching strays left and right because he called Hogan a coworker. And people are like, you should be grateful to him. Why? Like, fuck that noise. He doesn't have to be grateful to anybody. He could rightfully call Hulk Hogan a coworker from the time he worked in WCW and Tony was an announcer. Like, there's no, he didn't even dump on the dude. That's the other thing. It's not like he was like, I'm glad he's dead. He's not like he was celebrating the man's passing. He acknowledged Hulk Hogan, the character, and what he did for professional wrestling. He just, he's not a friend. He's not Eric Bischoff. So, undeniable, influential figure in professional wrestling. And I think that should be noted. But Dave, I'll turn it over to you for the back end here to kind of take us home. Thoughts? I know you, like I said, I know you've already done at least one podcast where you've talked about this. And as a wrestling network, because primarily we are a professional wrestling network, it's a guy you got to talk about, right?
Yeah. And I think that's why we talked about it at the beginning of this latest edition of Unidentified History that came out this morning. And we talked about Hulk at the beginning of that, largely because of what you're saying, because this is a pro wrestling, predominantly pro wrestling network. You know, we branched out and talk about other things now as well, but you know, it was all founded on the pro wrestling. Yeah, Hulk's a nuanced discussion and a difficult discussion, because like you're saying, Terry Bollea, the man, had lots of issues. He was racist. He, like Tony pointed out on Unidentified History this week, the lack of contrition that Hulk had, or Terry had, after he got caught, right, is the biggest problem with Hulk. Had he come out and said, and sincerely meant, hey, I fucked up, I'm sorry, it was wrong of me, that's not who I am.
Yeah, instead of don't get caught.
Yeah, that was where things really turned against Hulk. Do I agree with the people who are celebrating his death? No, because I don't think you can equate him to some of the worst of the worst of the worst of humanity out there. He's not a good person. He's not on like Hitler's level or some craziness like that. But to each their own, and that's fine. But as far as Hulk Hogan, the performer, goes, yeah, like we said on that episode, and I'll say it here again, none of us are doing this. None of us are here today. And even, you know, any of us talking today, we're not here without Hulk Hogan, because he set up the industry. He was the main catalyst of not one, but two of the biggest booms in pro wrestling history, the Golden Era and then the Monday Night Wars, the NWO. His reach and his ability to break into the mainstream at a time when pro wrestling was territorial and just, you know, largely just these little, the sex of not sex, S-E-X, but these fiefdoms. Yes, thank you. Like these little fiefdoms that all the people like.
Yeah,
Crockett had his, Vern had his, Vince Sr. had his, and Vince Jr. wanted to do something totally different. And he doesn't do that, you know, without Hulk Hogan. I've heard people say, oh, he could have attached that rocket to 10 other people. Bullshit, because it comes down to charisma. And 10 other people, 9 of those 10 people you're thinking of didn't have it, and Hulk did. So I think from the standpoint of his contribution to pro wrestling, you can't put a price tag on it. It's probably priceless for what he did to the industry. Right. Him and as a person, you know, that's another story entirely. But if we're just talking about you know, honoring him from the pro wrestling standpoint, there is no bigger star and no bigger loss to the industry that we've ever really had than this, right? I mean, you could seriously make that argument until Vince passes.
I mean, somebody made a joke in social media that this is like the test run for when Vince McMahon dies.
Sure.
Like how people read and respond. And again, like it'll be a complicated conversation, but there's no denying that Vince McMahon, and that's the other thing that I think people forget about, is it was a partnership between the two.
Sure.
Like Hogan doesn't happen without Vince the way that he does, and Vince doesn't get to where he does without Hogan, and their relationship and how that lightning in a bottle was caught made a huge difference. It is one is not exclusive of the other, because contrary to popular belief, kids, I'm gonna give you a little bit of history. If Hulk Hogan stays in the AWA, it doesn't matter for Vern, and it doesn't matter for the AWA, because Vern Gagne was a notorious untrusting prick when it came to his own title, and he was never going to give it to Hulk Hogan in that character.
Oh, he gave it to him, and then he took it away. Took it away.
And people point to that as this, like, that was the moment Hulk decided not to. No, it really wasn't. Like, Hulk was intending to leave before the screw job. That just made it an easier thing to say, to do the dusty finish. Hulk was gone. Like, he was definitely going to be gone. He knew that. He just hadn't told Vern that.
And he knew that
Vern wasn't going to trust anyone other than, like, his son-in-law, Nick Bockwinkle. Like, so you were either going to have Larry Zbyszko or Nick Bockwinkle holding that title at the AWA.
Along those lines, because I know we got to get out of here, but I mean, the difference between Vince Jr. and Vince Sr. is very, it is emblematic it's put right there on the Hulk Hogan situation. Because the whole reason that Hulk left the WWF and went to the AWA is because Vince Sr. said, you can't make this movie. Hulk said, screw you. Goes and makes Rocky III, goes to the AWA. Vince Jr., totally different mindset. Come on back. We're going to strap the rocket to you. You're a big movie star, Hulk. It all happens for a reason. That sort of thing. That's right.
So
the ultimate
Anyway, so there you go. Yeah, I got to cut you off. I know you want to keep talking, but we do have another podcast to record tonight.
Those other two guys are jobbers, man. They don't care.
Damn. At least I don't know.
It's almost like they're here in the room with us or something, you know?
Maybe. I was always more of a Bobby Heenan guy who liked to call everybody a bunch of ham and eggers. If we're gonna be dropping insults. Well, but anyway,
all of us are pencil neck geeks too. So, you know.
Right. We need to stop this conversation though. You are dragging me out. You're like my one of my guys that at works. He always tries to keep me standing in the office chatting. And now Tony's getting all, look at him, he's like, that's right. PC Tony's in the room, everybody. Ray Cash is in the room, too. Hi, guys. Yes. All right. So there you have it. That's our take on the passing of Hulk Terry Bollea Hogan. The last that we will talk about him on the Four Quarters podcast. Dave, we do have to call it a show. Tell everybody where they can find you out there in the Chair Shot Radio sphere, as well as on the socials.
Yeah, you can find me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Also go to the website, attitudeofaggression.com. We just dropped the latest edition of Unidentified History there and on the Chairshot Radio Network. They both kind of came out within hours of each other. So make sure you check that out. It's a great episode with my partners in crime, the one and only PC Tunney, who you will hear from later on Bandwagon Nerds, and DJ. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, Instagram and Threads. What are you saying? Never mind, Tony. We'll talk later.
Stop. Yeah, don't be that guy. I just think it's hilarious. You were like, and like that other guy is like, you're just sort of like reluctant. Because I do hear DJ has a podcast.
A very good one, too.
I'm sure it is. Anyway, you can follow me on the socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesdays, and occasional Wednesdays on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Mondays talking dirty stuff with the Bandwagon. Tuesdays talking sports on the Four Corners podcast. Wednesdays talking wrestling with the Greg DeMarco Babyface Heel podcast when we show up. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will catch you next week. Have a good day.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.